Welcome to the Leeds Church Institute podcast. To find out more about the Leeds Church Institute, visit lcrleeds.org. As part of our series on hope during Lent, Reverend Phil Arnold, Vicar of Christ Church Upper Armley in Leeds, considers why hope endures.
Just to say, it's really lovely to be with you tonight and to have an opportunity to share a few thoughts on the theme of hope that endures. When I arrived in September of last year, I spent some time in the first month going out and visiting shopkeepers in Armley High Street. And I just wanted to meet them. And there was just a window of time where I was able to do that. And I kept coming across these different themes that were emerging, struggling with things like antisocial behavior, crime, drugs. And I came to the conclusion that the shopkeepers needed encouragement and hope. And I told them that. I said, I think you're people who need encouragement at a time like this. And that to me seems to be a very biblically designed need, actually, for all of us to be given hope. The trick, I suppose, is to have that source of hope. And as a Christian, of course, I see this as relating to the heart of God's mission for the world. Hope is a word that can be used vaguely in society today, but the biblical understanding has this enduring, living quality that we're going to focus on now. There have been quite a lot of books written over the years on hope, but there's one perhaps that is the sort of the gold standard that was actually written over 50 years ago by Jürgen Moltmann, called The Theology of Hope. Moltmann had a spiritual awakening while he was a German prisoner of war just outside Nottingham. And his basic idea within this book, The Theology of Hope, is that hope redefines how we see the world, how we see revelation, and how we see history. So that we live in a kind of an in-between time where we know that there's immense suffering in the world all around us. We follow a Lord who is, in the title of another of his books, the crucified God, who enters humanity and identifies with our suffering. Our present reality, however, according to Moltmann, is not so much determined by our past, which I guess is a human way of understanding who we are, but actually by our future. We are in what we might call a liminal space. We're becoming as well as being. And this approach to theology, and particularly to the area of hope, is still very influential. So, for example, Tom Wright, a few years ago, wrote a book called Surprised by Hope. And he develops the idea that the Easter message is, of course, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, is the point where a new creation is launched, and that the ministry and the mission of the church today is to build on that new creation, bringing the experience of the resurrection hope to the world around us in a way that makes us, as Christians, makes us agents of change. And that hope has a very strong ethical component that affects how we relate to people who are marginalized, to the environment, in short, to God's agenda as we see it in the resurrected Jesus. And so in that sense, hope endures because in spite of the challenges that we face, we are part of this bigger story that draws us in and provides meaning and provides direction. So that how we engage with shopkeepers in Armley High Street or the isolated elderly, or those coming off drugs, or those who are refugees and asylum seekers, is defined by the future, by our expectation of what is to come, and by how we see this in the world today. Just for a sort of pastoral point of view, I want to just think a little bit about what hope looks like for us today. And perhaps I'm going to suggest some ideas about the how of hope in a world of struggle. And the first idea that I want to think about is this, that hope that endures is honest about difficulty and about struggle. Hope that endures has to start with reality. In other words, before we can look forward, we have to be comfortable with the present. And in a counterintuitive kind of way, Before we can find hope, we have to find a way to voice despair and difficulty. In Lent, of course, we're focusing on Jesus and the disciples' journey to the cross. We may, of course, and I hope we identify with Jesus, but in many ways, the natural connectors for us are actually the disciples and the crowds around Jesus. And as Jesus' ministry encounters opposition, the disciples begin to see that things may not quite be going in the direction that they want. The reality is that the disciples are a complex mix of different hopes. So, for example, we see Simon the Zealot, who is hoping for the overthrow of the Romans. Others like Matthew are rule followers who may have had a less dramatic vision, but have simply followed Jesus, who has transformed their life and their outlook. For all of them, for all of the disciples, their hope must have been changing through those weeks that led to Good Friday, until, of course, eventually the penny drops as Jesus is taken away. For Jesus himself, he cries out in the Garden of Gethsemane, my God, why have you forsaken me? A very honest kind of response to the mission that he's been called to do. And this resonates with the Psalms of Lament that show quite a bit of the life of seeking after God involves a sense of feeling disoriented rather than feeling together. And I think for many of us at this time, at a time like this where we are today, we're asking that question that we see in Psalm 137, which is one of the Psalms of Lament. And the question is this: how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? For some of us, of course, we didn't grow up in this land. But for all of us, we are, in fact, in a context, in a world where everything seems to have changed. Social distancing, buying food, seeing family, going away, going out for a meal, going to school. It really does feel like a foreign land. And so we're called into this place where we're able to hold that tension of feeling a little bit disoriented and struggling with reality. And it seems to me that, strangely, it's an important place to start if we understand hope. The second idea that I want to think about briefly is that hope that endures is usually shared hope. There are some of us, of course, who are kind of emotional tanks who can just keep on going regardless. But for most of us, as with the people of Israel, as expressed in the psalm that I just mentioned, it's actually a corporate thing. We experience it together. And I mean that in the broadest sense, that we share hope not just with our families or even with our churches, but actually with our whole communities. I think COVID-19 has broken down some of those barriers, perhaps, that existed before. At Christchurch, there's actually a long tradition of sharing hope together, as well as sharing with people who are struggling, whether they are refugees and asylum seekers, perhaps people with additional needs. And I'm actually learning all the time about how that happens and how I can do that more effectively. Meeting Point works with refugees and asylum seekers and is hosted at Christchurch. I love to come in and see Emma and the team getting ready beforehand, and then to see people coming in and being helped with food and other necessities. For me, the help is wonderful. What I really love even more is that sense of purpose that the team have as they work together to provide a sense of hope to those who visit. Many of those who are volunteers are themselves people who have been exactly in the same situation as those who are coming for help, for example, this afternoon. That act of service that we see from Nelson and Carla and other people like that is an act of community, as the team reaches out and touches the lives of over 80 families on a weekly basis. And of course, in non-COVID times, that includes meals and classes and activities, what in the church we might call communion, a sacrament or a sign of God entering into people's struggles in a transformative way. And many of the organizations here, I'm sure, can attest to that. Today, I just saw a lovely illustration of that. One of our Iranian volunteers who's there regularly, each week when people come who are not refugees, he gets a food bag out that we have prearranged and he takes it out. And so here we have an Iranian refugee ministering to people from the white British community. And there's something in the kingdom of God at work in that, isn't there? These, of course, are people here at Meeting Point who understand very clearly what it is to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land, but they are doing it together. Of course, in times of social distancing, that is challenging for, you know, how we do that. I guess the key thing is being aware of the other. We look out and we find others and we join them in some way, sharing our lives, lament and celebration, food and famine. We may not be able to do it as we'd like, but that is what we're called to do. And the third idea that I want to think about a little bit more briefly is this, that enduring hope is a kind of Easter message and an Easter theme. We have this wonderful story in the Gospels about the ministry of Jesus, but then towards the end, it seems to lead to failure when he dies, but in actual fact, of course, leads to new life and new hope. And there is a sense in which, while COVID, of course, is awful in so many ways, there is actually some good coming out of it as well. I think that a lot of people know how hard life is, for all of us actually, but for particularly for people on the margins of our society. Lockdown Mark 3 is just hard work. And community leaders and community groups around Leeds are no exception to that. In fact, they feel it probably more than most parts of society. But there is a kind of newness developing as well that has overtones of Easter. We seem to be working much more effectively together. Churches are engaging more effectively with the community. Local communities have risen to care for others. Our heroes have gone from being pop stars and sports people to NHS workers and other key workers. And there is a kind of glorious reversal in the hope of the gospel that's there in the pandemic. The sense that while it's tough, to a certain extent, it's realigning our values. And I think there is hope in that. Pope Francis may have been right when he said that it's not so much an era of change as a change of era that we're in at the moment. And let's remember that God is in this business of spreading hope, a hope that endures. Just as we wrap up tonight, I want to suggest that enduring hope has something of both crucifixion and resurrection about it. There is a realness to it, a grittiness, a sense of hard reality, and yet, at the same time, there is a sort of community-based hope that can be shared when we allow it to. I believe that communities are transformed by a commitment to sharing this kind of hope, a hope that really endures.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast from the Leeds Church Institute. To find out more about the Leeds Church Institute, visit lcileeds.org.